The Lord Jesus himself devoted three of the largest chapters in the scriptures to an exposition of it. And we should give the same weight to it as he did. So I'll take my exposition from the 21st chapter of Luke, beginning at the 5th verse. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what will be the sign when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not out therefore after them. And when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now his disciples asked first, when will the things be when this temple will be pulled down and not one stone left upon another? And the Lord Jesus Christ told them that it would be very close. Many would come saying, I am Christ, and they went to go after them. And they would see wars and commotions, and be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. He dealt somewhat with that aspect of the question they'd asked him, and then he dealt something on a bigger scale. Nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall there be, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. He's obviously dealing with something far greater than the destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred about 40 years after his words. And we know that because he goes on to say, but before all these great signs from heaven, they shall lay hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and into prisons, and ye shall be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Anybody who reads the Acts will know that that occurred immediately after our Lord Jesus Christ's ascension to heaven. And it shall turn to you for testimony. Settle it not therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. That came to pass when Peter and John, unlearned and ignorant men, faced the Sanhedrin, and they could say nothing against it. You read about it in the Acts. He gave them a mouth and wisdom. They were astonished at these men. They take knowledge of them, they'd been the Jews. And it says, ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall be put to death. Listening to him was James the Apostle, first to go. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now he's speaking to the apostles. When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is now. That desolation, flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all these things which are written must be fulfilled. But woe unto them that with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, that in the land of Palestine, and wrath upon this people, that's Israel. And they, that's the people, shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the nations, until the times of the nations be fulfilled. That deals with the first question which they asked him. And he said, well, to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. When our blessed Lord was being taken out to be crucified, there followed him a large number of women, weeping. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they shall say, blessed are the paps that suck not, and the wombs that did not bear. For if they do these things in a green tree, what's to be done in a dry? Now those women lived, those middle-aged women, because what he said, weep not, weep for yourselves and for your children. And a generation afterwards, the generation is 40 years in the Jews, though many of those women were alive. They were young women bearing children, and their children were certainly alive. And they ate each other in the siege of Jerusalem, as we shall see. And then it says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. And when they're over, it says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the wave roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and brooding those things which are coming upon civilization, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he said unto them, spake unto them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when thou now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things begin to come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. As the generation which saw the destruction of Jerusalem for 40 years and they saw that fulfilled, so the generation which sees these things after the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled will see the end of it. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Watch ye therefore. Pray ye that always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things, shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was prophesying in this chapter. He is the great prophet, priest and king. And our Lord Jesus, we look back on what's happened in Jerusalem, but in those days they were looking forward. They needed faith. And there was the greatest temple in the world. God Christ said, though in this generation not one stone shall be found upon another. What happened? In AD 68, the Jews revolted against Jerusalem. They were totally unprepared, of course, and very foolish to do so. The Romans sent a huge army under a general called Cestius up against Jerusalem. Cestius came and surrounded the city, all found in Josephus, and it looked as if it was finished. And then Josephus, the great Jewish historian, who wasn't a Christian by the way, writes, for no reason in the world, the Roman armies packed up and ran. They didn't even pack up, they just ran. He says it twice, for no reason in the world. There was no earthly reason, but there was a heavenly one. And he said, of course, once the Roman army started to run, the Jews sallied after them, cut off the stragglers, picked up the loot, and routed the army. Now, Roman armies were not in the habit of fleeing from nothing. And it was a miraculous dispensation, you might say. Well, of course, that couldn't happen. And 2 years afterwards, Titus came up against the city. But listen to this. The Christians of those days, friends, believed what our Lord Jesus Christ said literally. Then spiritualize it. When they saw Jerusalem surrounded with enemies, You might have said, what's the use of saying flee to the mountains when the place is surrounded? That's a poor sign for us. We'll never get out. But when they saw Cestius flee, they realized what it was. That was the sign. They said, now is the time for us to flee. That's why he's gone. We're out. And out they went. They fled down to Pella and down to Petra, so that when in AD 70 Titus came up to Jerusalem, there wasn't a Christian there. They'd got away, fled. Friends, we do well to take our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's predictions literally.
Amen.
And the predictions of every single one of the prophets. Once you get into the spiritualizing stuff, your guess is just as good as mine. And they were out, gone. But you notice, it says there should be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people.
Wrath upon me.
Most awful siege that's ever happened. You see the unbelieving Jews, unheeding our Lord Jesus Christ's blessed warnings. It was Passover. And instead of keeping out of Jerusalem, they packed into Jerusalem. So that instead of about 100,000 people in Jerusalem, when Titus came up, there were 1,000,000. Show Doctor that's true. Wow, not at all. There were 100,000 lambs slain at the Passover that year, and it's 10 men to a lamb. So that at least 1,000,000 people were crammed into Jerusalem. Up came Titus and bagged them all there. They couldn't get out. Then followed the most ghastly siege in history. Men and women ate their children. They died of disease by the thousands. There were 3 parties of zealots in Jerusalem who slew each other and everybody else, and only united when the Romans attacked. I am not exaggerating, because at the 12 gates of the city, in these ancient cities, there was a registrar of births and deaths, and it was the duty of the man, the official at the gate, to count the number of bodies and register them, and also to register the births. One official at one gate, when he fled to the Romans just before the siege ended, told that out of one gate alone, he had counted 109,000 bodies out of one gate alone. Well, in the end, of course, Titus didn't want to destroy the city, did his best to save the temple. Very best to save the temple. But the Roman soldiers were so infuriated, they threw a torch on the top and he burnt it to the ground. Not only so, but it was so destroyed that Titus passed a plow over it. And no stone has ever been found, only 2 stones, which can be definitely identified as belonging to Herod's temple, have ever been found. One I've seen at the Constantinople Museum, and one is in the Jerusalem Museum. It stood between the court of the Jews and the court of the Gentiles, and it says, any Gentile passing this barrier will be thought worthy of death. And the one I saw in Constantinople was not found in place. It was found as the hearthstone of a miserable Moroccan house in the Dungap Valley. The other was found in a similar place. Came literally to pass. And then it says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. So many prisoners were taken that they took them down to Alexandria. Nobody bothered you. The buzz was glutted. Nero, in the early days of the war, he didn't know what to do with the prisoners. So he set them to digging the Corinth Canal across the Peloponnesian Isthmus, which joins Athens and Corinth. I passed through that canal and look up at the sides of it, and a large portion of it was built by prisoners taken in the war in Palestine in 69. You can look it up there and you think that's 2,000 years ago since the very prisoners which Christ spoke of were working on this canal. And it says they shall be carried away into all nations. You know a place where there's not a Jew? If you do, I don't. And I've been in the most of them. And in addition to that, it says, and Jerusalem, notice it doesn't say Israel, shall be trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. Now that's a very remarkable statement. You say, Doctor, well, the times of the nations must be over. Practically all of Israel is in the hands of the Jews. That is perfectly true. But Jerusalem is not.
No.
I know Jerusalem, of course, well. I was up there about 44 years, and I spent 1959 there, and it was back in 1962. And Jerusalem is divided into two parts, one of the Arab part and the other Jewish part. The Jewish part is not Jerusalem, historical Jerusalem. It's a very fine city, but it's absolutely new. All the holy places of the Jews are in the hands of the Arabs, so that they can say, and they do say, as Scripture said they would, aha, all the ancient holy places are in our hands. You pass through the Damascus Gate into the old city, with Arab hands you see a huge wall there. So what's this wall? Oh, that's to protect the Damascus Gate, because it's only 100 yards away. When, just before the armistice was signed between the Jews and the Arabs, every one of us was absolutely, would you prophesy, on our toes. The Jews had got 8 tons of gelignite under the Damascus Gate. In another few hours they'd have blown it up. They'd been over the temple area without the slightest doubt. Stop. It wasn't the time. Jerusalem is still in the hands of the Arabs. I was speaking to an old friend of mine, Jerry Masson, who was in the 9th Light Horse with me when I was in Melbourne not long ago. He's dead now. He was 25 years agricultural officer of the Palestine government. He knows Jews and Arabs well, and also he fought in Palestine. And quite on his own, Jerry at those times was not a Christian, said, Joe, the Arabs could take Jerusalem in an hour. I said, thank you for telling me that, Jerry. I've been saying 3 hours. He said, too much, Joe. I know them both. They take it in an hour. Listen. Jerry was the first man into Damascus. He knew his stuff. I know my stuff, too, for that matter, and so do most of you fellows who've been exiled. From a military point of view, in the hourglass of God's time, there's only one more grain of sand to fall when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
Amen.
Only one more hour. One more grain over the top, and Jerusalem will no longer be tied down by the nations. I'm not going to tell you when it's going to happen, I don't know, but when you get there, you can feel it like that, shaking under your feet. Some nights you hear, rup, up, 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 up. I mean, when I was back there, I thought, well, I'm back in the war. You stick your nose up above the Mount Zion there, and you'll get a bullet through your head. Trembling. Times of the Gentiles are very nearly up. And when they are up, then things will begin to move. Faster even than they're moving now.
Yeah.
And they're moving fast. It says, then there shall be signs in the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations. Holding fast together of nations, with perplexity. That means without any way out. That's just what is now. There's never been such a time when the nations were in such awful distress, holding fast together, holding them Seato and Uno and Niato and everything, African Asian bloc, all holding together like this, because they think the more we are together, the safer we will be. It's a feature of the age, this holding together, fast together without any way out. With insoluble problems. And looking for those things which are coming upon civilization. For the powers that are in heaven should be shaken. Never in this holy world has there been such a time of perplexity or such problems. I'll just note one or two of them for you. And you know as well as I do, men, there's the population explosion. There's no answer to it. I haven't got my watch on now, but for Every single minute, the Chinese population increases of 220 souls a minute. 11 million a year. Indian population much the same. A minute. It'll be fight or starve very soon. You men imagine that they're not going to fight? Think again down in this fool's paradise. I'm an Australian in which we live. There are all sorts of problems. There's a raw material problem. The shortage of this and the shortage of that, and one of the greatest shortages in the world is fresh water. Terrific problems. Every conceivable sort. With no way out. If anybody knows of an answer to the population problem, I'll pay their fare to Geneva, they're looking for it. No way out. And men's hearts are failing them for fear. Secretary Marshall died of heart failure because he couldn't think of any way out of these problems. But looking at those things which are coming on civilization, and the reason they are, for the powers that in heaven are shall be shaken. I admit those powers are the principalities and powers in heavenly places. But I will tell you, friends, as no doubt you know, that the word for heaven in Greek is Uranus. Now it's the fact that in the powers that in uranium were loosed, as it says here, and the atom bomb was first by what's called fission in uranium. The powers when that were loosed, and that's what's frightening people, friends. I don't say straight out that our blessed Lord prophesied the uranium bomb, but I'm sure he did. The powers are loosed. In heaven, atomic power. What they're terrified, and anybody will use it. You mean to tell me that the Chinese won't use it when they get it? Think again, friends. How many of you men have been over in Egypt and these places and perhaps quarter of you know these people are ruthless? Ruthless. For the powers in heaven to be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth now. Tonight, before we finish, Jesus Christ might have come for us. That's the only hope of the world, friends. That's the blessed hope. That's why we sang that hymn. Why our brother prayed. In his last, he spoke of the coming of the Lord. That blessed hope. The gospel in the old days, the first time we read what Paul preached in his first epistle that he ever wrote, he spoke to the Thessalonians when he said, I remember your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. Your work of faith, how ye turned to God from idols. Your labor of love, to serve the living and the true God, and your patience of hope to wait for his Son from heaven. That is what, even in the opinion of infidel persons like Gibbon, kept the early church straight. Keep me straight, kept me straight all the time I was at the university in the army. Christ might be here tonight. And friends, it warned my friends too. Speak of this to a mixed audience, I don't care how many they are. You look pretty sluggish up there, speak of the coming of the Lord, you'll see sitting on the end of their chairs. A saving doctrine, a sanctifying doctrine, a neglected doctrine. So we see our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy to us gives us another sign. He said he spake unto them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things begin to come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Yes. Now for all, our friends the amillennialists and all that sort of person says, and by the way they don't know much about what's going on in Palestine, I'm sure there's a fact. It says, when ye see the fig tree begin to blossom, ye know the summer is nigh at hand. Now, there wasn't a single person in his audience who didn't know that he was referring to the nation of Israel. You can look at Edersheim's Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, and you can read that there wasn't a Jew who didn't believe three things. That the olive tree spoke of Israel spiritually, and the fig tree nationally, and the olive tree religiously. I wonder one who didn't know that he was speaking of Israel. When you see thee begin to blossom, we've got the fact on our side, friends. When I lived in Jerusalem, I don't care either against amillennialists or agnostics, if you like, when I went to Jerusalem, perhaps some of you were in the light horse then, when we rode into Jerusalem, December the 11th, 1917, and the same day Albany entered it, there were 53,000 Jews in the whole of Palestine. There are 53,000 Jews in Beersheba alone tonight, and there wasn't a Jew when we went there. I saw them come back from 53,000 to 2.5 million. These are facts, not speculations or spiritualizations. I feel like saying to my millennials, spiritualize that lot away. I don't wish to be sarcastic, men, but all I can say is people should know what they're talking about first. And they should listen to what, if they can't know what they're talking about, listen to them who know, been on the spot. Friends, I get to Jerusalem weekly, every week, three days after it's published. I know what's going on. I was back there in 1962. And these things are not only begun to come to pass, they're well on the way. How close must be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people, as that precedes his coming for his saints, precedes his coming with his saints.
Yes.
I will come, said our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be, not that where you are, I may be. And he will come with his saints. The Lord who itself will return with 10,000 of his saints, Jew. It's on the way, friends. Might happen tonight. Once you get that behind you, then you go for your, life. It's been with me, and I'm sure it's been with a number of you men all my life. I knew this truth at the school, at the university, and I was in as tough a crowd as anybody. In the light horse, I suppose, as tough as anybody. They used to say, what that ninth light horse leave behind, the Bedouins won't take away. Well, it's like Andrew Marvel's strong lines. But at my back I always hear time's winged chariots hurrying near, while yonder all before me lie, deserts of vast eternity. You get that rush in your ears, and nothing will stop you. And nothing will, no fear of man will stop you witnessing and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he's coming.
Yeah.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Clouds which we see around us in our poor old country, which is the biggest fool's paradise as possible to imagine. I've been in most of these places. Friends, I feel for the young, for that poor crowd of evolutionary believers. When you teach a young fellow that he comes from the beast, he acts like the beast. Then I found who said, you die like a dog, they live like that. I feel sorry for them. Therefore, you and I have seen our life, and God, we know where we're going.
Amen.
I remember, and you remember, in the first, where there's supposed to be a humorous song. We don't know where we're off to, but we're on the way. So is everyone in this city, on a journey from the cradle to the coffin. We're well down. And they don't know where they're off to, but they're on the way.
Yeah.
to heaven or to hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my home is far away, upon a brighter strand. Eternal life and joy there. And perhaps tonight, as our dear brother said, we'll get that new body.
Yes.
And be forever with the Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Yes.
Gracious God and loving Father, we thank Thee those wonderful words. Brethren, sorrow not as others concerning those who are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and every one of us here believes that,
yeah, amen.
Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with
Him. Yeah, yeah.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. With the voice of the angel.
Yes.
And the trump of God.
Mm.
And the dead in Christ, only the dead in Christ, shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort these words.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that's our comfort. Dark all round, but it's still light up. There's one way of retreat, and it'll be a triumphant retreat too. Up, a victory caught up into the air.
Mm-hmm.